Good morning. Welcome into In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. Monday, January 30th, 2023. As we get started here, we're going to be talking to the Flint Hills Breadbasket and then also Polar Plunge. We'll get a preview of that coming up here. We'll hear from Senator Roger Marshall as well coming up in around 9:30 or so. But we will start first with the Flint Hills Breadbasket. Executive Director Carla Hagemeister is in studio with us today. Good morning.
Good morning. It's good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you too. This is always a good time of year to visit with you guys because you have a nice event that kind of ties in well with a big game we're going to see in 2 weeks.
I think our timing is great every year, but when we're going to the Super Bowl, you can't get much better than that. Yeah, we're very excited about that.
Absolutely. And this is a fundraiser that's done annually, and it's kind of got a nice history here in the community.
It does. So what we're talking about is what Bill Kennedy coined way back when as the Super Bowl, S-O-U-P-E-R, Bowl of Caring, or the Super Bowl of Giving. And it's a joint project that is really cared for by the Knights of Columbus, their chapter here, and then the Breadbasket. And basically, it is just paying attention to the fact that after the holidays, things for many of us have slowed down in regards to what we're thinking about giving or caring for other people, but the need does not necessarily go away, especially during the winter months. So we've captured that activity around the Super Bowl, the football game, and that fun celebration of time that sports fans in across the nation, but obviously in Kansas this year, are going to be having, and encourage them to donate different foods, hygiene items, or monetarily, financially support us through this activity.
I think that this is not just a unique thing to Manhattan necessarily. I think this happens in a lot of places, probably around the country, but it's a great tie-in to really bring awareness to this issue.
Absolutely. You're right. It's not unique. There's only so many ways that we can share words and share messages. And so it's not something that is absolutely unique to Manhattan, but it is rooted in Manhattan. It's been around since the 90s that we've been doing it. And so it is a kind of one of those things that we know is coming every year. The community has supported us, our faith communities, our schools, our businesses, all know that it's coming, and that's one of the fabulous things about this sort of drive or organization is that the Knights of Columbus have really owned it or cared for it, nurtured it, and they do a lot of the prep work. Our businesses, our churches, like I said, our schools know that it's happening. They get behind it. So it's really something that's a delight for us to do because it pulls in so many different parts of our community and is something that we don't have to carry the load for ourselves. It's something that we all do together, and it's a lot of fun, honestly.
So when does this all kick off? Is it next weekend or?
So if you go to any of our churches or many of our churches that are participating, they will have probably boxes out already. I know that our church started our collection this past week. And so depending on the organization, so smaller organizations, schools, churches, businesses can start collecting now. Obviously, the excitement is starting. So we are going to go ahead. We can bring out boxes to places. That's really helpful for them to have a place to collect things. But essentially, between now and the Super Bowl itself, different organizations are invited to host their own small drives that we can then support. And then the day before the Super Bowl itself, so Super Bowl Sunday is February 12th, so Saturday the 11th, we will have volunteers out at Dillon's, both locations, and Hy-Vee between 9 a.m. and anywhere between 1:30 and 2:45 or 3, depending on the location. We'll have volunteers out at those grocery stores kind of doing that. Here are the things that the breadbasket needs, kind of catching people as they're going into the grocery store, making it easy for them to pick up just a couple extra things and drop them off with the volunteers on their way out the door. So just anything that we can do to share that message, make it easy for people to support us, we're happy to do.
All right. So parents will probably be hearing this from their kids if they're coming home. They might have a little slip that they come home.
That's right.
We're collecting stuff for the breadbasket.
That's right. It is exciting. Again, our kids get excited for this sort of thing. They want to care for people. They want to be part of that. So our schools enjoy getting in on the action as well. And again, whether the schools have the schools, the churches, anybody can do whatever they want to creatively do to make this fun. I think that's one of the best things about it being connected with the Super Bowl, and in particular this year with our Kansas City team, the Chiefs, going to the Super Bowl. It's a great opportunity to just kind of tie that into it and have fun with what they're doing.
Yeah, definitely be more excitement. More people will be out at the grocery stores, I'm sure, that Saturday before the game. So, you know, you're going out and getting your stuff anyway. Think about getting some stuff for the breadbasket as well, because that will just help stock the shelves out there. And I know you've done a really good job out there, not only promoting the need for food, and we'll definitely talk about the needs out there, but also hygiene products, and specifically feminine hygiene products.
So that's an interesting question, and a great thing is that I can tell you guys on the radio this morning that we are not in need of menstrual products.
Good.
Because we were able to acquire a grant from the Memorial Hospital Foundation. And with that those dollars, we were able to purchase about a year and a half's worth of menstrual products that we are now able to distribute to our guests at no cost. So that is really a delightful thing for us, because that's something that our guests have a high need for. But when we are asking and talking with the community about what things we need, that doesn't have to be on our list, which is great. Now, the flip of that is there are things instead that are on our list that we have a higher need for in that hygiene department. We are always going to be on the lookout for shampoo, conditioner, body wash, and then those paper products, toilet paper and paper towels. Toilet paper, obviously, no matter how far past the pandemic we get, I think is always going to be, and even before, obviously. Toilet paper is an expendable commodity. You don't recycle it. You don't reuse it. And so that's something that's just always going to be in demand for us. So something that we're always going to be on the lookout for. But those other items are the main things that we're in need of right now. We've got lots of deodorant. Like I said, we're squared away on the menstrual products, dish soap, laundry detergent, we're squared away on those things, which is really nice for me to be able to say, you know, there are certain things that we do have been able to acquire a good stock of, and really focus in on some of the things that we're shorter on and concentrate that ask of the community for those particular items.
Awesome. Well, I'm glad to hear about the grant. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And as far as the food needs here, what I know there's usually typically needs for shelf-stable foods and other things.
Mm-hmm. So we have, again, really focused in on collecting shelf-stable foods that are what I would consider whole foods or base-level ingredients. So really thinking about the diversity of who it is that we're serving and creating food choices or making available food choices that are healthy, nutritionally based, nice solid foundation on that nutrition end of things, but also that are versatile. So food items that families can take and adapt to whatever cultural or religious or whatever their dietary needs might be. So again, we're really in need of more and a good variety of different tomato products. So it is chili and soup season, all of those sort of savory things that are good during the cold weather. So we're looking for those sorts of things. We're looking for sugar, flour, vegetable oil, or oils that people can use for cooking. Again, we're trying as much as we can to encourage people to cook full meals. We are able to bring in some produce from our grocery stores and offer fresh foods to our guests. So again, it's great to have those food choices, but then you need the tools, those kind of pantry stock items, in order to actually prepare the foods. So that kind of goes to more of our cooking and encouraging our guests to cook. But then we know that there's also always kind of that need for some ready-to-eat options for folks that maybe have short on time or don't have the kitchen capacity that others have. So from that, this time of year, we're really looking for those ready-to-eat soups, the kind that have a pop top on them, that you can just take straight from the can. And be ready to go, just heat it up and go. So thinking about our progressos and chunkies and all those different sort of meals that are really ready to go. And, you know, you don't have soup without crackers. So crackers, again, have a shelf life, but it's not as long as some other products. So those are things that move quickly and that we don't necessarily have a really deep stock of because of that shorter shelf life for them. So looking for those things. Last thing food-wise, and again, all of this information is on our Facebook page. So if anybody is thinking that I'm talking too fast, which I tend to do, you can check us out on our Facebook page and see those items as well. But the last item that we have on that list is some of our canned fruits. So again, kind of looking at ways that even through the winter months, people can have options that kind of balance out their diet.
All right. We have such a diverse community here, too. And I'm curious, do you get questions about, I know we have some Afghan refugees here mm-hmm. in the community, about foods that are halal, things
yes,
like that?
Yes, absolutely. I've learned a lot about that in the time that I've been at the Breadbasket. And that is something that we have really striven to educate ourselves and our volunteers about, is what makes a food halal, what sort of food offerings are we able to make. And it's been really pretty cool for us. We were able to acquire some halal chicken through Harvesters this past late summer, early fall, that we were able to offer. And then also thinking outside the box, Harvesters has also had some impossible meats. So some of those plant-based proteins. And those, because they are not meat-based, are halal as well with that halal certification on that packaging. So we've been able to offer halal chicken tenders, sausage patties, some other meat products or plant-based meat products that are popular not only with our families who are Muslim or keeping halal, but also with some vegetarians that we serve, or folks with some other dietary needs that they need to watch what sorts of proteins they're eating. So having those different variety of foods is really important to us.
All right. Very good. Well, I'm really glad to hear that. And sounds like we got some really good opportunities to help out the Flint Hills Bread Basket coming up. And again, we encourage people to check out your Facebook page. Do you have a phone number you want to pass along to?
Sure. Our phone number is 537-0730. And again, we're happy to help answer questions about what things that we're needing. We accept donations all day long, Monday through Friday. There's somebody in the building from 8 until at least 4, most of the time after that. And then we're open now Tuesday evenings until 6:30. We are doing a second round of our market. So from 4 to 6:30, we're open to guests. So if somebody is wanting to drop off a donation after work and they want to swing by on a Tuesday night, we'll be there for that too.
Wonderful. Okay. And then pretty easy to find, too, right behind the Douglas Activity Center there off of Yuma. So, Carla, appreciate you coming out here, and I hope you have a very successful event.
I'm sure we will, and I appreciate the opportunity to share with you. Thank you.
Yep, absolutely. That's going to wrap up the first segment. Stay tuned. We're going to get a preview of Polar Plunge up next. Kristen Gugisberg standing by on Zoom. We'll get to her next. And we're back here on In Focus on News Radio KMAN here on this Monday morning. And we'll visit next with Kristen Gugisberg. She is with Special Olympics Kansas, and we'll be promoting the Polar Plunge, which is coming up real soon here in the Manhattan area. Kristen, good to talk to you.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it. And this is a great event that happens annually here, the Polar Plunge. For those that don't know, give us a little background on what this all entails.
Yeah, so the Polar Plunge is not unique to Manhattan. It is an event that happens across the country this time of year in support of Special Olympics programs. And so the Manhattan Polar Plunge is coming up in just a couple weeks. And the way it works is that we head out to Tuttle Creek State Park and to their swim beach. And the crazy people in our community choose to donate money to Special Olympics and then plunge into the cold, cold, frigid lake waters. So we have community members, we have athletes and coaches from the local Special Olympics team, and then all sorts of friends that come out and plunge into the cold water for a good cause.
It's a very fun event, and it's a good event because it raises money and awareness as well, for that matter, for Special Olympics here in the state of Kansas. What about participation? Are your numbers good this year?
So my preference is always for this event to be a little later in the year for a couple of reasons. A, because it's hard to get K-State to rally around an event this quickly to when they come back from their break. And B, I hate being cold. But we always get cold. It doesn't matter. But so I would say we're a little bit lower than we were last year, but this event was a couple weeks later last year. So we'll definitely, you'll hear about us a little bit more over the next 2 weeks as we ramp up kind of promotion and awareness of this event, specifically on K-State's campus, but also just in the community, trying to get everyone excited about doing the Polar Plunge.
Yeah. And it's really easy to participate. You can, if I remember, you can do this individually or as a team, right?
Yep. You can do it as an individual or a team. If you don't have a team, there's a few teams already registered online you can hop onto. The Manhattan Special Olympics team, they always go by the name Slippery When Wet. So they always welcome additional team members. You can help them reach their fundraising goal. Or you can just go on our website and register as an individual too.
Okay, very cool. And people get really creative with this event, and it's safe. We should probably preface that. You always have some medical staff on hand just to make sure everyone's going to be fine.
Yes, we do. We actually will have Raleigh County EMS out there, and then there's also a dive team in the water, making sure that everyone's safe, everyone's accounted for, everyone makes it back out to the swim beach.
All right, very good. People really do have fun with this. I've been to events in the past where people dress up, and costumes are encouraged because there is a contest that's kind of associated with that.
Yes, we do hand out awards that morning. And so there's awards for things like the highest fundraiser and the team with the most participants. And then there's also awards for best costume individual and best costume team. So our theme this year is a rock and roll theme. I always like to see how people dress up with a theme, but it also doesn't have to be with the team. If you've got a creative idea outside of that rock and roll theme, that works too.
Okay, very good. And entry fee is really pretty standard, $75. That's really not asking a whole lot from people.
Yeah, and it's nice because when you do register, we don't ask for any sort of money up front. You get a registration or a fundraising page with your registration, and so it doesn't take much to kick that out to a few friends or family that might be willing to donate $5 or $10. And if just 5 or 6 or 7 of them do that, you reach your goal, or you can kind of, whatever kind of gap you have left, you can give us that day. One thing that I always say is we will not keep anyone from plunging that wants to do it. If you are up for it and willing to do it, the $75 fundraising goal is just so that you get the commemorative t-shirt after the event. But we won't keep anyone who wants to from coming out and supporting Special Olympics and taking the plunge.
Now, and we've probably mentioned what the Special Olympics, what they do here in our state, because there's so many athletes who get an opportunity to really go compete and do some fun events throughout the year.
Yeah. A lot of people think Special Olympics is just a one-time event throughout the year, that it's just a basketball tournament or a track meet. We have events going on year round. We have 20 events, so there's so many overlap, or 20 sports offered. So there's so many overlapping seasons. We are always in motion, always have events going on. In particular, we have a ton coming up. State basketball this year is going to be hosted in Manhattan. So that's coming up on March 17th and 18th. That's going to be a huge event. We'll have a ton of different teams, over 500 athletes in the community for that event. We also have, we have a local team who's going international this year. The Manhattan Special Olympics volleyball team is headed to Berlin this summer to represent Team USA at the World Games. So people think that it's only kind of this local effort, but really everything that happens locally leads up to regional events, which lead up to state events, which lead up to USA events, which then lead up to the global events. And that's really, where everyone wants to go, is to that World Games. We took a whole bunch of athletes to USA Games last year, and now a few of them, specifically some from here in our community, are headed to World Games. So it's really neat. And aside from the sports, we do a whole bunch of health screenings at all of our events. And then I'm actually in charge of what's called our athlete leadership programming. So we have athletes who are meeting with me weekly to learn what it is to be a leader and how to be more involved in their communities and how to be self-advocates. So it's really cool. It's a lot more than just sports, but sports is one of the more fun sides of things, and our athletes really enjoy it.
Wonderful. Well, that's good to hear, and neat that they're learning all the those leadership skills, because giving back, that's another arm of the whole thing. And I'm glad you brought up the state basketball, because I we'll be pushing that more here as that gets closer in March. But I know they're looking for volunteers for that event. The Convention and Visitors Bureau, they're kind of helping with that as well. So if anyone's out there and listening, think they want to volunteer for the state basketball tournament March 17th and 18th, reach out to the Convention and Visitors Bureau for that.
Yes, they have been a great partner for us. They're doing a great job of making people aware that that's coming and that we're going to need some help to make that a great event.
Yep, absolutely. Well, again, the Polar Plunge and is happening on Sunday, February 12th. What time do y'all get started out there?
Yeah, so I'll be out there early setting up, making sure everything's ready, but you can start checking in as early as 10 a.m. We'll have to wait and see kind of what the weather brings up. If it's a nice morning, you're more than welcome to come out at 10 a.m. If it's chilly and you want to wait a little bit, you just need to be checked in by about 11:45, because we do start plunging at noon. It is Super Bowl Sunday, and we obviously have some interest in that with the Chiefs headed to the Super Bowl, but we are always wrapped by about 1 p.m. So we have tents out there that'll be heated. So after you plunge, you can change into some dry, warm clothes, and we'll get you out of there. I should mention RCPD is bringing out their food truck this year. And so not only will you get to change into some warm clothes, we'll also feed you lunch after the plunge. They're going to have hot dogs and chips and water for everyone out there at the beach after the plunge, which again, the plunge happens right at noon. So you just need to be checked in before then. And then we'll have everyone out of there by about 1 o'clock or so.
Okay. And it's a great venue, really. I mean, Tuttle Creek State Park, just a gorgeous backdrop for this. And where do you say that you guys plunge at exactly there?
So it's the swim beach on the other side of the dam.
Okay.
We do put out little roadside signs so that you have a good idea of where you're headed. And then all of our registrants will get an email that lets them know kind of the route to get out there and to look for the signs to find us.
Okay, very good. Well, that'll be a lot of fun. And hopefully we can raise lots of money for Special Olympics. Is there anything else we haven't touched on you want to make sure to get out there?
I don't think so. I'll just encourage everyone again to come support the local athletes, especially since they're in the middle of a big fundraising campaign to head to the World Games. And also, we do, like I mentioned kind of briefly, partner with RCPD for this event. So you'd be showing them support by coming out as well. And we're just really grateful for everyone in the community who's already registered or plunged with us in the past. It's a fun event, and we're happy to offer it again.
Absolutely. And the website for that, again, is what again?
Plungeks.org. And you can get on that website and see our location as well as the other 9 locations around the state. Ours happens to fall on the same day as Lawrence's. So they're about $1,000 ahead of us in fundraising. So we'd like to get closer to Lawrence's total, but it's plungeks.org.
Yeah, absolutely. We've already beat them once in the Sunflower Showdown. I know the next game is tomorrow. So let's go ahead and beat them on this too. It'd be great.
Yeah, that's the plan.
All right, Kristen, thanks so much for the time, and hope you have a great event coming up here soon.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, stay tuned. In Focus will continue in a moment. We're going to hear the interview with Senator Roger Marshall right after this on News Radio KMAN. We're back on In Focus, News Radio KMAN here on a Monday morning. Over the weekend, Senator Roger Marshall stopped by the K-Man studios. He was in town for a convention that was happening and spent some time with us Saturday morning here at the K-Man studios. Well, we're going to play back that interview now, it's about 11 minutes long, so we'll play it in its entirety here next on News Radio KMAN. Good morning. Welcome into In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. We're visiting today with U.S. Senator Roger Marshall, who's back in Manhattan. And good to see you again, Senator.
Brandon, it's great to be here with you as well. What a fun weekend I had here this weekend. Exciting times to be a Wildcat. Got to go back to my stomping grounds at Kites for dinner, where I was a bartender for a couple years. So it's just great to come back home.
What do you think of Aggieville right now? It's a little bit crazy.
You know, it was loud. I couldn't believe how loud it was. And I mean, to be frank, it kept me up late. I stayed in a hotel down in Aggieville, so it was loud. Good crowd. You can't find parking as usual, but it sure looked like it's alive and vibrant. And we're also glad COVID's done, and it's good to see the students interacting. And, you know, we had this epidemic, mental health epidemic, the last several years, and so much of it was brought about by social isolation. There's just not enough as a physician. I don't like giving drugs if we don't need them. And the best cure for that, some of that mental depression, is just getting out and having some fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, lots going on here. I know you're keeping busy. You visited with some folks at Farm Bureau this weekend?
Right. It's young farmers and ranchers have their annual convention here in Manhattan. Again, a bunch of K-Staters there. And by the looks of them, it looks like they'd had a good time at Aggieville as well. But what's important right now is this is the year we write a farm bill. So every 5 years, we write a farm bill. And that farm bill is so important, not just to farmers and ranchers, but communities like Manhattan, Kansas. That the farm bill is what provides the backbone so that Americans have affordable, reliable, safe, healthy food. You know, Americans only spend about 7% of our GDP on groceries. Most nations spend twice that. And that allows us to do some other things with those monies, like build roads and bridges. You know, I think of NBAF. It's coming online now. So we'll be working on research dollars for that in the farm bill. So we wanted to make sure that all the young farmers and ranchers knew what was going on with the farm bill.
All right. And are you taking input from the public on the farm bill right now?
Yeah, we are absolutely taking input. We've been working really hard, though, for the last 5 years, getting out and listening. So over the next 2 months, we'll be having hearings in Washington on the farm bill. Kansas Farm Bureau has already given us their priorities. And fortunately, you know, their priorities are my priorities, no doubt about it. So those line up well. But continue to the small tweaks is what we're looking for now. Certainly trying to identify what's working and what's not working in the farm bill. I think we're pretty close, but there'll be a few surprises that I'll learn about here in the next several months.
Okay. Now, then that's important to everybody. That's a bipartisan thing that everybody, I know there's a lot that goes into that. They try to package several things, but it's so important that we get that passed.
Right. So the SNAP dollars, nutrition dollars are in there. About 80 to 85% of the farm bill is for SNAP dollars. In Kansas, this last year alone, about $500 million were spent on good, healthy, nutritious meals through SNAP dollars, including our school lunches, the school breakfast, the backpack programs as well. So nutrition's a big component of that, but also a lot of high-speed internet. There was a couple big grants from last farm bill that we saw some high-speed internet get put in counties like up in Washington County, down in southeast Kansas, Montgomery County as well. There's been, goodness, I think three, if not four, hospitals built across the state of Kansas in the last 5 years with farm bill dollars as well. So yes, it's way more than just crop insurance. Certainly crop insurance is vital. And I got to just stop as I think about crop insurance and think about the godfather of crop insurance. And that would be my mentor, Senator Pat Roberts. This will be the first farm bill in 40 years that his boot prints aren't on it. So I've got some big boots to fill and we'll be working hard.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, very good. And hopefully we'll continue to see more push for broadband in the rural areas. I know that's something you're fighting for.
Right. And you know, I tell people broadband is much like roads and bridges. It's never done. There's always a new road to build, an old road to repave, a bridge that needs fixed, a new bridge. You know, I think about here in Manhattan, you know, just prioritizing some type of better access from Wamego to this direction. I'm told that Pottawatomie County will be the largest growing county in Kansas over the next 5 or 10 years. So again, trying to think ahead, not just about what we can see, those roads and bridges, but high-speed internet is so important. We talk about the environment, and Kansas farmers can grow so much more with less thanks to precision agriculture. So we need that high-speed internet to be able to apply fertilizer, to figure out how much fertilizer we need, how much we don't need. So we're excited about all those opportunities. Technology is just exploding using artificial intelligence and machine learning.
All right, very good. Senator Marshall joining us here on News Radio KMAN. You know, there's other things going on right now, discussion on the debt ceiling. And I got to say, you know, I'm almost 38, and I feel like my entire adult life, this has come up almost annually. Are we going to get a solution on this?
Well, Brandon, I sure hope so. Let's think about what's going on now to put it in Kansan terms. Right now, President Biden has maxed out his credit card. And now he wants another credit card. Look, I'm pretty much a self-made person. I remember in medical school, my wife and I maxing out our credit card. And instead of getting another one, I joined the Army Reserve. So that's the problem right now, is we as Republicans are saying we need to face this debt crisis and use it as an opportunity to balance our budget. And it's not as difficult as it might sound. If we would cut $100 billion from our federal budget and freeze spending, we would balance the budget in 4 years. So it's feasible. We'll have to prioritize. We'll have to get rid of waste. But we're going to use the debt ceiling as leverage to get President Biden to slow down his spending. And really, you know, a lot of if you would ask Kansans, their number one concern right now, it's inflation. And the president's borrowing money from our grandchildren is what's driving that inflation, forcing the feds to print dollars and ending up just throwing gasoline on that fire.
Where would you suggest cuts to be made?
Yeah, you know, I think that's always the challenge. But if it's $100 billion of cuts, I think there's that much we can find in waste. And, you know, much like I understand healthcare better than anything. And I've seen hospitals that are upside down. And the first thing a person does when they come in to turn that hospital around is they try to maximize incomes and freeze labor. So as people retire from the federal government, as they quit, let's not replace them. And I just think that there's always a massive amount of waste in every program in D.C., and I'd be okay with cutting 2 or 3% from every department rather than picking on just one. But I want to just assure your listeners this. We're not going to touch Medicare or Social Security. I went to D.C. to protect those. And the way we protect those, by the way, is getting those 7 million men, able-bodied men between the ages of 25 and 45 that are not working right now. If we get those folks back into the workforce and paying into Medicare and Social Security, that'll help us avoid those cliffs.
All right, very good. As far as other things going on in D.C. right now, I know there's always investigations. I feel like there's always investigations. And right now, the big thing is the documents were found at Joe Biden's home or whatever in Delaware. And we're seeing that more and more. Where do you see that investigation going?
Yeah, and Brandon, I want to agree with you that we should be focused on balancing the budget, stopping inflation, energy independence. Those are where my emphasis will be, making our environment cleaner, healthier, and safer. Those will be my focuses. Yes, Congress needs to hold the executive branch accountable. Speaking of accountable, I think about this document issue, I've been thinking a lot about President Eisenhower. You know, since I was 10 years old, I was 10 when he passed away and my dad was in that funeral procession. He's certainly someone I've held up as the gold standard. And President Eisenhower talked about leadership. You know, number one was integrity and number two was accountability. So what really disturbs me is with these documents is that that no one's taken accountability for it. As a senator, when I go look at these type of documents, there's a special room. It's called the SCIF. I check in. I leave all my electronics in a special place. We walk in. We read the documents and we leave. So I just don't understand how in the world did these documents get out of a SCIF when Joe Biden was a senator and get to his home in Delaware and the other locations. So it's very disappointing. They need to take accountability. I do think there's something there.
Well, and it's interesting because there's this, and then we saw what happened with President Trump and having his home raided and whatnot. Are these alike in any way, or how do they differ?
Well, I think they're alike in many ways, and it's sloppy handling of classified papers. Again, my military experience would teach me that I'm just beside myself to think that this has happened. I don't know how it could have happened. Something's rotten in Denmark, as they say. We need to get to the bottom of it. And I don't think that we need new processes. I bet we just need to follow the process that we have. Maybe there needs to be, I can't believe there's not a special SCIF room in the Capitol, at the White House, where the president would go, read those papers, and then leave, just like we do. And those are under lock and key. So I'm just sorely disappointed that any of this has happened as well. We need to get to the bottom of it, of course. But again, I'm going back. I'm focused on balancing the budget, stopping inflation, making sure our families are safe and secure, working on securing the southern border. We have got a broken immigration system that needs to be fixed. So I've got plenty of other problems on my table right now.
Yeah. All right. Very good. Well, Senator Marshall, anything else here before we wrap things up?
Well, I just would say it's a great time to be a Kansan. Goodness, we've got a great – when's the last time K-State had a top 10 and a top football and basketball program? NBAF is coming online right now as well. So many great things are happening here. There is absolutely world challenges, but we live in the greatest state in the union, and I'm just so proud to be a Wildcat and glad to be back on campus.
Yeah, a lot of positive momentum right now, and we'll look forward to visiting with you again here real soon, and have a good weekend.
Thanks, Brandon.